Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio, www.buildingfortunesradio.com. I apologize for Nick. I was running just a second or so or whatever late. My alarms are going off, and I'm not paying attention. I got stuck doing something with an email program, and one thing led to another, and I hope you can hear me. I also know that there's probably some scratchiness on this phone line because AT&T still hasn't been able to figure out how to do my phones. So I'm going to try to switch over to something that might work a little bit better. So, Nick, you'll probably hear me. First of all, Nick, are you there?
Yes, Nick? I am here.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
I hate to do, like, technical quality control on AT&T, but do you hear any, like, pops or scratching or bells or whistles
yes.
or anything else? You do. Okay. So I'll let you start talking, and I'm going to switch over to a different phone line, and I'm going to disconnect me over here so this way we don't have to worry about it.
All right. So it's good to be here. My name is Matt Cantos, and this
different
phone works.
Lines. Yep, this phone works.
So I've been doing this show with Peter for around 5 years. This is my sixth year doing it. Yes. Hello.
We're here. Keep going.
Oh, right. Sorry about that. So I've been
That's
doing
okay.
this for about six years. And I started when I was 16, and it's been a great experience. I've been talking about the industry, the MLM industry, for the past 6 years, and then of course, just in general, my life, because I'm in college, and I'm also my dad and my brothers are also we could just happen to be blind students. Or I happen to be a blind student in college. My brothers are too, and so we're doing that, and we're just living life. But yeah, that's what we've been doing for the past 6 years. And Peter has been on the journey with us for all this time, and he's been great.
Well, thanks, Nick. And I apologize for scooting around. For those people that are unfamiliar with my voice, I sound a little bit different, probably because I'm on a cell phone and on a speakerphone, which is the least favorable way I like to do these kinds of radio shows, but AT&T is having a hard time with making some of the transitions from fiber or copper and all that sort of stuff. So they're screwing up my lines, and I've been having some interesting conversations with supervisors and everything else like that as they're trying to blend the technology together. So for all of you younger people, there was a time where there was a copper wire that actually fed into your phone line, and it threw a little bit of electricity through it, so the phone would always stay on even if your electricity went down. So there was no internet to go down, you know, many, many years ago. So the phones would usually work even if the electricity was down or there was a natural disaster. Well, as they're trying to do away with analog and move towards digital, they moved everything to UVerse or digital VoIP, which is going through the internet. Now, the problem with that is there's packets of information sent, and sometimes they pop when the packets are being sent in. They're disruptive. So before, when you were listening in and you heard a pop, that was because that was something going on with their inability to connect copper wires to their new fiber wires. And I've been stuck in the mix of having those challenges. So nobody's figuring it out. AT&T doesn't want to do it, even though it's their responsibility. That's some of the reasons why I sound a little bit different. So if I'm a little bit flustered or frustrated, it's because I'm forced now to use a cell phone on a speakerphone, and I don't like to do it that way. But, Nick, I guess that's part of the transition of newfangled versus old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Which also brings us to maybe some of the things related to, like, how people learn or how people are working and what's working best. So let's use as an example relative to college. Old-fashioned was the way you started college. You went to a classroom. You were educated by an instructor. And then went in and you got a test at school, right? That was old-fashioned.
Yeah. We're doing that now. So we're doing normal stuff now again. And it's
right.
Working well. You know,
right.
But
it wasn't
always that way.
But hold on 1 second. So you went from old-fashioned to newfangled, which was when the pandemic came on, you worked remotely. And
yes.
I don't know about you.
It was awful.
But I can tell you about me. If I asked you to judge your level of education, if it went up or down for the whole entire experience, for when you started to work remotely, was it better or worse? And I'm going to guess you're going to say
it was worse.
So then now you're going back to the old-fashioned way, although some of the stuff is still probably newfangled, meaning a lot of the stuff is more and better online for when you need it. So now you can have a hybrid of in-person and online when you want it, and that's much better. But
yeah, so for me, I'm a social person, right? I need to be in a social situation. So I go to class without, you know, I don't do online at all. I just don't. I mean, I just can't work. So I do online, I do social stuff. I go to class, and it works for me. Some people can't always do it. Only some professors allow online. Some professors won't allow it, which is, you know, which works because we can actually go in to class now unless you're sick. Then of course, we have a whole thing for that. But in general, it just works. I don't know. Like, I just like the old standard. And, some people may say I'm an old-fashioned person, but there are some times when old-fashioned things work better than new fashions. Now, not in business, however. In business, you can't do the old-fashioned ways. You just can't. The old ways don't work. If they did, well, more people would be doing those old-fashioned ways and winning because only 1% statistically make it in the multi-level marketing industry because of old-fashioned. And that's using the old-fashioned ways. Only 1% actually make it.
Right. So we need some level of automation and some level of technology to be able to get things done. I'll use as an example, I have to go to the doctor, and when I went, because I broke my ankle. So when I went to the doctor, they were sending me things to tell me about how to do the procedures. Like, you can come upstairs, like, call us when you get here. This is the texting that I was getting. You know, your appointment is set. Call us when you get here. If you have a guest, your guest has to remain in their car or by the elevator. And all of that sort of stuff. Well, I also got a phone call from a girl who said, well, tell us when you're here. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to tell you when you're there and you're going to bring a wheelchair down to pick me up, or how's it going? And she says, oh, did you get those automated texts as well? Don't pay attention to those. I'm like, how the heck am I supposed to know which ones to pay attention to or which ones not to pay attention to? So we realize that automation is supposed to make your life easier, but only when it works well. So let's use another example. Due to the countless phone calls I have had to make to AT&T to try to fix my landline, I get their IVR, which is their Internet Voice Recognition, which doesn't really recognize what I want. They keep sending me over to the wrong department. So I have to tell the same story over to different people. They put me over. If I say repair, they think it's internet repair. I don't have an internet problem. I have a phone problem. So I could tell, I've learned how to try to deal with any or all of this stuff, but automation in theory works well, but there's nothing better than replacing it with an individual. So the other things that they've done, Nick, is every time they put in my ticket, they say no dial tone and static on the line. So the tech goes out there, does whatever he does. Here's a dial tone, closes the ticket. It's fixed. And I'm like, that's not true. I've always had a dial tone, but I've also always had static. So why in the world does every time the tech goes out there and closes the ticket right afterwards, and I have to wait 5 days for this to happen? And the reality is, oh, the girl says, oh, we have to put no dial tone to be able to initiate a ticket. I'm like, that's all screwed up with your system. So technology actually works against them in certain areas. So
that's because they have bad systems.
Bad systems is right. So it's if people would actually walk through their own systems, they'd realize how stupid they are. But now here you have, like, for instance, big organizations like AT&T. One company does this, another company does that. Whoops, I'm talking about AT&T. I'm going to take this call, Nick. So you finish up, because this is that AT&T supervisor. Hold on.
So he's right. Having a good system is a good idea. Now, it's going to cost money, and this is one of those things that business owners don't understand. Right, when you're really running a company, and you want to have a system, it will cost money. However, that system that you're building, whatever it is, it is worth it, because if you have technology and you use technology in the proper way, in the way that it's supposed to work, like automation and things, if you have a good system and it works well and you use it properly, you can really start to grow your own company, your own business, because then you'll be able to grow your own fan base, and you have more customers, and you know that's what you need in a business. First and foremost, you can't run a business without customers. No matter what your upline tells you, you need customers, and people sometimes don't know that. So you know, because you can't. This is why it's a legitimate business, because you have to have customers. You know, you didn't have to have customers, well then it'd be a pyramid scheme. However, it's legal because you have to have customers, and so you sell a product, and only the way to do that faster and more efficiently. I mean, the old ways. Yeah, they can work. And I'm not saying they're totally useless. No, they're not totally useless. You do have to speak to people and everything, which is fine. If you're in this business, you know how to speak to people. You have to, because you can't really avoid social situations. This business is not for those who are anxious, socially anxious. You can't have social anxiety and do this business. You just can't. That's with any people business, real estate, MLM, whatever it is, you just have to have social situations down pat, because if you don't, you're finished. So if you have a combination of good systems plus good social skills, you are basically set. And it can be an investment, whatever, you know, like our family, we paid a pretty good amount for our thing, but it's definitely going to be worth it once it takes off and everything. But you know what? So that's our example. However, if you do invest in your business like a real business, then really start to feel like a real company you're running, because you're putting in something that, you know, you're putting in capital for something that is going to help you do more advertising, better advertising, and everything else. And it's, you know, it's something that you know, like I said, I'm still learning about. I don't really understand it all, but I do understand basic business principles that. You know, because I'm a business major in college, and I'm also learning corporate finance, which is basically the art of knowing the decisions, knowing the consequences of the decisions you make, and figuring out how to, in a traditional business, add value to your shareholders. You know, because that's the most important thing in any traditional business is to add shareholders value, not short-term profits. Because short-term profits it's basically like if you go for short-term, they could easily just go away in like next day. You know, long-term, well then you get more for you have to wait a long time for the profits to show up, but it's a lot more than you would have if you didn't focus on on long-term. So, but that's a traditional business. This is more of a thing that we don't have shareholders, we don't have stockholders, we just have ourselves and our families if they're helping us run the thing, and that's it. I mean, and our people. So we don't have that thing. However, we should have, we should have the systems available to us, and there are places that do offer these systems for a pretty interesting, interesting price and whatever. So, you know, I kind of wanted to speak about, you know, investing, really just putting in an investment into what you do. And if you're willing to do that, then you're willing to make your business grow a lot faster, which is good because you need efficiency. Efficiency is important in business. So, so that's kind of the first step. The next step is figuring out your audience. That's kind of a hard thing, you know, figuring out who you want to sell to or not really sell to, more like give information to, because you're in an information business, which, you know, it's hard because people won't always accept what you have to say. But if you find people who want what you have anyway, well, then it's just a lot easier because you don't have to go to people, you know, to convince people to say, oh, you know, we have the best product in the world. We have the, you know, the highest level of ingredients in our product, or we have the best vacuum cleaner known to man, better than, you know, much, you know, better than the first, you know, flying machine or whatever, like whatever you call it, you know, you don't have to convince people. So having an audience is a good idea and, you know, figuring what that is. And then of course, you know, figuring out how to market in the right way. And there's tons of ways to do it. You know, it's not an easy process. All the figuring out what you're trying to do, figuring out what decisions you want to make. It's not an easy process, but it's you know, some people say, and I kind of believe this sort of, but I don't really believe it. You know, nothing worth a lot is easy, but I don't necessarily think it's true. I think, in my personal opinion, that you can have both. I really feel that in the modern times, in the age of information, the age of technology, I think it's possible to have, you know, to have a business where you don't have to be a slave to your business. You don't have to spend 18-hour days to do it. Like, I just don't see the point in, you know, murdering your health, you know, and your sanity to make money. I just don't see the point. And some people say, well, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and you got to, you know, do the old ways and do the prospecting and all this, and you have to do all this crazy stuff. You know, you got to put in 18-hour days, all day, 7 days a week, you know, full on, no holds barred, nothing, you know, to build the business. Well, yeah, it can work. But how long are you going to be able to maintain it? How long are you going to be able to do it before your body burns out, before your mind burns out, before you are basically nothing but a husk and you just can't do it, you know, and you take a 9-month vacation, you know, and you just can't do it. I mean, and I've experienced this before, right? You do all this great work, you put in all this stuff, and you burn out because you do too much at one time. It's not fun, not a fun experience. Personally, finding systems, finding a way to make your business grow more efficiently and more, of course, more ethically, of course. That's important. Ethics is important, but also more efficiently. If you can do that, you are in better shape than most companies because they put in too many hours and get too little.
Hey, Nick. Peter's here.
Hey, Peter.
Hey. I'll give you my up-to-date frustration with AT&T. Supervisor calls me back and says, you know, we're only doing what we can do. These things are tough to figure out. I'm like, really? I'm like, you, this is a waste of time. Who else can I speak to? There's nobody else you can speak to. What we do is we put in a trouble ticket. I'm like, okay, well, how come they don't fix the trouble tickets? How come they keep closing the trouble tickets and I'm the one that have to keep opening it up? I don't know what to tell you. It takes a long time to try to figure this stuff out. Like, really? This is customer service? This is repair? Like, seriously? Like, this is repair? So anyway,
that's why I go to that's why I use Verizon, because Verizon is just better, in my opinion. But that's my opinion, of course.
Well,
but that's because my dad uses it.
Hold on one second. You say that until you reach my problem. So the situation with Verizon, you're not using a landline in Verizon. You're using cell phones. So there's lots of different ways for that to be a different issue. for a landline, somebody has to come out there and physical fix a wire. So Verizon doesn't have your land service. AT&T probably has your land service. If you had a landline, you have a cell phone. So it's a different thing. So it's just, you know what I mean? So it's a different thing. It's a physical land wire that's connected to physical land wires that are going between here and the newfangled way of doing things. On Verizon,
I haven't used a landline in literal like 14 years or
exactly.
Whatever. I haven't used one in 14 years.
Now the reason why you don't use a landline is because it's makes no sense sometimes for people to have a landline and a cell phone when you're a kid and you're a teenager and you're whatever, you're not at home. You'd rather have your phone with you at all times, so you're more likely to buy one phone line. When you're running a business, if you needed to be on conference calls and radio shows like we're on right now at a static location, meaning the same location, you probably want the stability of a copper wire. But the technology is saying we don't want to maintain copper wires. That's too tough. We want to maintain
too costly.
Satellites. Yeah, too costly. We just want to maintain what we're maintaining, which is the newfangled way. So I'm kind of like stuck in the middle there.
Yeah, so it's a thing of it's what I just spoke about, right? It's about efficiency, and you know, I talked about basically how the old ways of doing business, like in our industry, are they work, and they do work. I'm not saying they don't. I know people who've done it and made millions off of it. But then there are people, but they had to do 18-hour days. They had to put in all this stuff. And how long can you maintain that? How long can your body say, I'm ready to do this before it says, I'm done, I'm out, give me a 9-month vacation and maybe I'll help you out, but maybe I won't.
That's true. Well, for those, as we're wrapping this up, and my apologies for the delay, for me having to step away, why don't you give us your contact information? I'm going to be right back because I think some of you are now knocking on my door.
Thanks, Peter. So, thanks for listening. I know this is was a pretty interesting radio show with all the technical issues, I guess. I hope I was able to give you some information, something useful, you know. And so, if you want to contact me or my family, it's https://. Let's see. Infone, INPHONE .co/Cantos. So yes, that's how to do it. So you'll have all the information there. It's all in one place. And it's really easy to navigate. So that's where to go to. And I want to say again, thanks for listening. And it's great to be here always to speak with all of you, or to speak and give you new information. So thank you.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. And sorry for the interruptions. I had to take those calls. And sorry for these interruptions. Welcome to live radio. We'll see you next time, everybody, on Building Fortunes Radio. So long,
you've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.